Hello, friends, and welcome to The Daily Good, a podcast filled with upbeat news, thoughts, music, and inspiration from all around the world. Good things are happening every day, but sometimes they're hard to find, so this podcast is a daily collection of the good stuff. It's important for us to stay active and aware of the concerns in the world around us, but it's also vital to give yourself time to reframe and refocus in your daily routine. And we could all use reminders of the good in the world and the great things that are happening everywhere, every day. So with that said, here's today's Daily Good. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Good Podcast. My name is Peter. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is the second day of the week, and here we are pushing through another 5 days together. I almost said 7 days, but then I remembered I'm not quite crazy enough to do a podcast that runs 7 days a week. I know and admire some people do. I think 5 days a week is plenty for me, and I hope that it's satisfactory for you as well to just kind of get you through those days between the weekends. So that is today. Tuesday is that day where we kind of put the head down a little bit, kind of just push forward, right? Try to take whatever momentum we had from last weekend that got us through yesterday and ride it just a little bit longer, because boy, I feel like as soon as I hit Wednesday, we're on the downhill slope to the next weekend. So here we are on that second day of the week, and I've got a nice little day ahead of me. There's not a whole lot happening until this evening, but then happily, I've got 3 dance classes to teach tonight, and that's a big deal because it's a big deal to me. I'm going to tell you anyway. My beautiful wife Lauren and I teach a vintage era swing dance called Balboa, and we try to teach 3 levels of that, kind of a beginner level, and then a level 2 and a level 3. And we've been struggling for a long time to find a place and a time to run the level 1 class of all things. If you can imagine, we've been able to sustain levels 2 and 3, but kind of had a hard time finding a spot in the schedule at the ballroom to place level 1. So we're doing it tonight. It's at 5:30 in the evening, so there's a certain amount of trepidation about whether or not people are going to want to come that early in the day, but we're giving it a shot and fingers crossed. So if you could think happy thoughts, if you're the type of person who prays, pray a little prayer about that class. We're hoping that they all run well. So, do those 3 classes this evening. But in the meantime, for the rest of the day, I don't have a whole lot of big important things to do, and I'm going to try to keep it that way. This is a struggle for me. I'm a person who has a sense that if I'm not doing something, if I'm not doing a chore, if I'm not answering emails, if I'm not working on something, that I am somehow frivolously wasting time. And it's a struggle for me to realize that it's okay to have downtime. So that's been one of my little mental health self-care issues, and I'm going to try to be okay with that today. So that's where I'm at. That's what I'm up to. How are you doing today? This is your chance to pause and check in with yourself. Do maybe a little momentary mental health evaluation for yourself. See how you're doing and what you might need to make this day a little bit better for you, whatever that means for you today. I know that it's going to get a little bit better for you, just like it will for me right now, if we just pause for a moment and take a slow, deep breath in together. And then let it out again really slowly. Isn't that lovely? I think so. And now we can head into today's podcast and take a look at our first good news story for the day, which keeps us right here in the United States for a change. I feel like a lot of our good news stories range all over the world, and I love that. But this is a domestic good news story, at least for me, and it is about a Native American tribe in California that had huge portions of its territory stolen during the gold rush, and they are now set to get some of that land back as part of a brand new land deal. The Yurok tribe will be the first Native people to manage tribal land alongside the National Park Service. That is huge, huge news. So they are going to help steward a 125-acre site, which is a gateway to redwood forests. So this arrangement comes on the heels of a historic agreement between the Yurok tribe, California State Parks, the National Park Service, and Save the Redwoods League, which is a nonprofit organization. And it's just the first step towards transferring this ancestral land back to the Yurok permanently. Joseph James, who is chairman of the Yurok tribe, said, quote, "Together, we are creating a new conservation model that recognizes the value of tribal land management." And Sam Hodder, who is president of Save the Redwoods League, said that the agreement, quote, "starts the process of changing the narrative about how, by whom, and for whom we steward natural lands." That takes us next to The Good Word, the segment of the podcast where we turn to the power of great language to improve our lives every single day. Well, this week we are celebrating the words and the life of the great English poet and priest, George Herbert, who composed some absolutely lovely verse in his lifetime, but also had a way with an epigram, you know, those very short pithy sayings, and I really love a lot of his short sayings, and this is one today, very brief, but very, very important. Good words are worth much and cost little. Now, I had a particular thing to say about this quote. I had read it, I had liked it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to share this on the podcast and say this. And then as I was reading it a couple more times, I found at least one other interpretation that was completely different, and I think just as valid. One might seem a little more shallow than the other, but here's what I've got. Good words are worth much and cost little. I think my initial response to that quote was that the things that we say to the other people in our lives, the people that cross our paths, if we can say good things to them, you know, kind things, pleasant things, helpful and hopeful things, that can do immeasurable good to those people, and it doesn't cost us anything to do it, right? It's just as easy to say kind things and patient things to people as it is to be cynical or sarcastic. So we might as well go for the good words. It doesn't cost us anything. But then I was also thinking, I love books. And there are so many amazing books out there in the world waiting to be read. And whether you are a person who likes an actual paper and ink book, or, you know, an ebook, a Kindle type thing, or an audiobook, none of these things cost a whole lot. And yet the entirety of the knowledge and experience of the human race is available to us. And these days in particular, it doesn't cost much. So a couple of different ways to interpret this quote. Good words are worth much and cost little. George Herbert. Thank you. Up next, we come to Good to Know, the segment of the podcast where I try to dazzle you with fascinating facts and trivia on any subject that I choose. Well, there's no particular theme this week. It's just a random hodgepodge of trivia, and that definitely includes this little bit of linguistic historical trivia. The word dude actually originated back in the 1800s as an insult to men who were overly concerned with the latest fashion trends. Good to know. So we come to our second good news story for today's podcast. This is kind of a brief one, but it is such good news. This does take us over to the UK, but it is this. Wind, solar, and hydroelectric power generated more power in the UK over the winter than gas, despite the government not really supporting renewables that much. Now, this comes from an analysis from the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, which said that green energy gave around 40% of the power generation over winter, compared to about a third for gas. Now, the ECIU said that the UK government risked keeping the country hooked on fossil fuels. Jess Ralston, the head of energy, said, quote, "The government fumbled its last renewables auction, securing no new offshore wind farms. It has also just delayed the rollout of heat pumps, which can run on electricity from British offshore wind, rather than boilers that will increasingly have to run on foreign gas. Nevertheless, important to note that over that very, very bitter, cold winter, there was still more power generated from renewables than gas." That brings us to Wonderful World, the segment of the podcast where we get to travel all over this big, beautiful planet of ours together, thanks to the marvels of modern technology. Well, all this week, I am delighted to be sharing with you the travels of Phil Rosenthal. If you are a fan of the Netflix show Somebody Feed Phil, you already know who Phil Rosenthal is. If you are new to the podcast and you have not heard me yet wax rhapsodic about Phil, he's one of the unwitting patron saints of this podcast, because his travel show, Somebody Feed Phil, and its previous iteration on PBS, which is what we're spending time with this week, which was called I'll Have What Phil's Having, are so close to my heart, because they celebrate things that I am so passionate about. Travel, good food in any form and at any cost, and meeting and befriending people all around the world. And also embracing life and genuinely, deeply enjoying something with enthusiasm. And Phil embodies all of those things in his show. For some context and background, he was the head writer and creator of the television sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. So he's a very, very funny guy just on his own. But his love for life and his deep enjoyment of simple, wonderful things is something that I really, really love. So we're spending time with his original PBS show, I'll Have What Phil's Having, this week. And today I'm sharing with you the very, very first episode that I ever saw, which takes place largely in Florence, Italy, at least for the first section of it. But then it kind of ranges into a little bit of the surrounding region, Umbria, and he gets to spend time with a couple of absolutely phenomenal, world-class chefs. Nancy Silverton, who created the La Brea Bakery in Los Angeles, is a dear friend of his, and she has a home in Umbria. They get to hang out together and talk about food and life. But he also spends time with a legendary butcher and chef named Dario Cecchini, as well as just some very low-key street food level people in the world. It's a remarkable episode, and you want to talk about an episode that will instill in you a love for life? This is it. This is the episode that got me hooked on him and everything that he has done since. So I'm also, of course, because this is Tuesday, linking this with the rotating segment of the podcast, which would normally be the next segment, which is the Bon Appetit segment, where I talk about food and drink from around the world that I love. This episode is kind of the ultimate expression of beautiful, majestic, simple, food and drink. He eats some food that is, you know, you might look at it and think that it's kind of fancy. He goes to a place where he has some handmade fresh pasta, and then they shave black truffle on it. And boy, do they shave a lot of black truffle on it. Like, probably, if it was anywhere else in the world, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of black truffle on top of his pasta. But he also has a sandwich at a street food stall. And I'm not going to give it away, but it's made with a very cheap cut of meat. But it's good. Yeah, you know, he has some homemade gelato at a gelateria in Florence that literally brings him to tears. It's that sort of love of food and the experiences in life. Oh, I can't say enough good things about this episode. If you've never clicked on anything that I've recommended clicking on to share with you, let this be the first time you do. Set aside an hour today. I know that's asking a lot. We all have busy lives. But set aside an hour. Make this the thing that you watch today. Click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode. Head over to YouTube and give yourself the gift of an hour to watch the Florence and Italy in general episode of I'll Have What Phil's Having with Phil Rosenthal. And so we find ourselves at the final segment of the podcast for today, Sounds Good, where I talk to you about music and musicians that I love. And all this week, we are spending time with the Netherlands Bach Society, celebrating the birthday of Johann Sebastian Bach, which was back on Sunday. So we get to spend all week reveling in the artistry of this organization and their phenomenal project, All of Bach, which, as I said yesterday, is exactly what it says on the tin. They are working their way through the entire output of Bach's work that we have written down today. And as they do it, they are filming these phenomenal performances. And they're gorgeous videos. It's not just necessarily a musician sitting at a piano or a harpsichord, and it's just a static camera. Some of these are recordings of live concert performances in front of actual audiences. And sometimes it is just, you know, a single musician or a small group of musicians performing somewhere. But it's never just like a studio. Oftentimes they're performing in an art gallery somewhere in the Netherlands, or they're performing alone in the nave of a beautiful cathedral. It's just breathtakingly beautiful to watch as well as to hear. So today we are hearing just one of a whole series of Bach's works that are among my favorites, the Brandenburg Concertos. Now, I have to confess that my introduction to the Brandenburgs actually came, well, by way of my love for my favorite author, Douglas Adams, who was a huge fan of Bach. And he was actually tasked with writing the liner notes to a collection of the Brandenburg Concertos that was put out by Penguin Records. And he wrote a beautiful little essay about the power of Bach and his music, and specifically about how wonderful the Brandenburgs are. I'm not going to link to that today. I'll let you do a little research on your own if you'd like, and just look up Penguin, Brandenburg Concertos, Bach, and Douglas Adams. If you put all those keywords into a search, you'll probably find his essay. Whether you find it or not, the Brandenburg Concertos are some of the most joyful, brilliant work that this unabashed genius ever put out. So, what I'm sharing with you today is the Brandenburg Concerto No. 5 in D major, performed by the Netherlands Bach Society. And in this particular case, this is one of those instances where they are performing live in front of an audience. And in case you're not the sort of person who reads descriptions under videos, I will just share with you, because it's kind of cool to know, that they are performing at what is called the Gallery of Honor at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. And they are performing on period instruments, including a brilliant and beautiful harpsichord that was built in 1640. So it's a remarkable performance in a beautiful space of an exceptional piece of music. So click on the link in the show notes for this segment of today's episode, and it'll take you over to YouTube, where you can spend about 20 minutes enjoying Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 5 in D major. And that's it for today's Daily Good. There are links to many of today's segments on the website at the-daily-good.com. Make sure to check out our Instagram account and Twitter feed to get more of the Daily Good every day. Our theme music, On the Sunny Side of the Street, was recorded by the brilliantly talented Jonathan Stout. Thank you again so much for joining me, and come back anytime you need a boost.